Uh-oh, this camera's messed up.
A lot better.
I don't know what happened here. Well, I'll just forget about the timer. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're in the seventh chapter. And I've been, for those of you that get the bulletin, and of course we mail some out to those who get our CDs, but I've been writing each week a little bit of information that will help us with this study that we have here in the book of Matthew. Now, most people do not understand the public ministry of our Lord. And that is, most people under the canopy of Christianity that claim to be Christians, they don't understand what our Lord's public ministry was all about. Our Lord came, first of all, to fulfill all righteousness and to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, which he did, and then to die a ransom for sin, the just for the unjust. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, the scriptures were set up so that if anyone failed, like, for example, the first failure was with Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve was deceived by the serpent, and then Adam willfully ate of the tree when she offered the fruit to him. And Adam is a type of Christ because he knew that if he didn't eat of it, that Eve would be damned forever. Adam was Eve's federal head. Adam is our federal head. And by federal head, we mean that we're all related to Adam. As in Adam, the scripture says, all die. And so God has made of one blood all of the families of the earth. That doesn't mean that we all have the same blood types, but of one blood. We're all related to Adam. So in Adam, we die. All right. So for 2,500 years, which is from the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden until the giving of the law when the Jews came out of Egypt, for 2,500 years, there was only one law, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Only Adam and Eve could break that law because everyone else was banned from the garden. God sent fiery cherubim, you know, in Hebrew, or a cherub is one. And if you add I am, cherubim is I am in Hebrew, or that sound is the equivalent to an S in English. So it's the plural form of cherub. And the cherubim then had flaming swords, and no one could, after Adam and Eve, no one could enter into the tree or into the garden to eat of the tree of life after what? God put them out so that they wouldn't live forever in bodies subject to sin. So it was actually, being banished from the garden was actually an act of God's grace, you know, let's get him out. And then, of course, we know that God is omniscient. And in omniscience, Debbie for years has been teaching our children in Sunday school class the attributes of God. And if you're ever going to come to a real understanding of the Word of God, if you're ever going to come to a real understanding of the Word of God, you have to know who God is. And so many people apply, what would we say, human attributes to God. Well, yes, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God who is a man in a human body, in a body that he could perform the law, and he did. and in a body in which he could die a sacrifice for sin, because the scripture teaches us that without the shedding of blood is no remission or no payment. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that hasn't got anything to do with the religions of this world. The religions of this world are all based upon the lie of the devil, which you can be like God by what you do. And most people don't think of what that actually is. What is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. What is the basis for every religious system in the world? Man's morality. I looked up a while back online and asked how many different religious systems are there in the world, and they gave a number of 4,000. 4,000 different systems, all based upon somebody's perception of what's right and wrong. But that no flesh will be justified in God's sight by the law, it's evident. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when we speak of the law in these terms, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law manifests God's standards. But the only way that we can be put into God's standard is by the fact that God himself became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, lived his life under the law, and then gave himself as a ransom for sin. So all of the animal sacrifices from the Garden of Eden through the period of the law all the way up to Jesus Christ, if properly done, they all pointed, those sacrifices could never take away sin, but they all pointed the individuals who made them to faith in Christ. Okay? So the animal sacrifices couldn't take away sin, but faith in what the animal sacrifices represented could. So everyone from Adam to the last person that will live upon this earth is, we are, no one can be saved by conduct, but we can all have a right relationship with God by what? By faith. To believe that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, satisfying God's holiness, righteousness, and then his justice, when then he bore the penalty for our sin. Because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. But then when we read the book of Hebrews, we find out that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer and so forth could never take away sin. So why did they offer them? Well, they were offered, it's kind of like a play, they were acting out in shadows and types what Christ would actually do in the fullness of the time. So when a Jew would sin, he would bring the appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle, and there he would place his hands on the head of the sacrifice and confess his sins. And then the priest would slit the throat of the animal sacrifice, spill its blood, and depending on what type of offering it was, burnt offerings, the carcass would be burned upon the altar. Okay. So why was the body burned? Well, basically, what happens when you burn something? It changes form, the physical substance changes to gas and rises. So which it speaks of resurrection in Jesus Christ, right? Rising of the presence of God. So the animal sacrifices pointed us to those things. Now, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which starts back in about the fifth chapter of Matthew all the way through the seventh chapter of Matthew, Jesus spoke to the Jews a Sermon on the Mount, and if you go back to, I think it's 548, you get what it takes to be justified by the law or by the life that you live. Jesus said to the Jews in 548, be ye therefore perfect, how? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, can anyone do that? No. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Well, then was Jesus telling them to do something that couldn't be accomplished? Well, it couldn't be accomplished by them. They needed a Savior, and that's what the sacrificial system pointed them to that in the fullness of time. We read back in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Why a virgin birth? Well, if it was a natural birth, then whoever would be born would have a sin nature, the same as we have a sin nature. Because as in Adam, all die. And we all get our blood from our father. It's an interesting thing in a pregnancy. There's not one drop of the mother's blood in the body of the baby within her womb. That blood is formed by the genes of the father. Okay? And so, and through that blood, we're all related to Adam. And through that blood, we all have a sin nature. Therefore, we're born how? Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, God's a gracious God. If an infant dies, in his passive justification, he's covered by the blood of Christ. Yeah. The Jews didn't become accountable until, they were 20 years of age. When they came out of Egypt, everyone that was 20 and older died in the next 40 years in the wilderness, and all of those that were from infants up to 19 years of age, they continued on in the wilderness, and they were just as full of unbelief as their parents were, and so they wanted to reject Joshua. And, Caleb, is it? Reject them and choose up king, kill Moses and Aaron and go back to Egypt. Yeah. And so that's why they were 40 years in the wilderness. Then when they were there, they were afraid to go into the land. The spies had given them a good report, were able to conquer them, but they were afraid. Yeah. And so, God had to judge him again, and he sent fiery serpents, or serpents that when you're struck by an Egyptian asp or something that it's like it sets you on fire as the venom courses into your body, and death comes very rapidly. Okay? So they were being bitten by serpents, and Moses was given the solution to the problem. Make a serpent of brass, and place it upon a pole, and lift it up before the people, and whoever looks shall live. I don't know what they call that medical symbol that's kind of, with a serpent on it. The nurses wear it. From the idea, okay, look and live, or we're health givers. Yeah. Well, there's no health giving in the natural realm that prevents death in the final analysis, but there is in the spiritual realm. Christ lived his life as a Jew under the law, satisfying every jot and tittle of the law, and then with no cause of death in him, he gave himself as a ransom for sin. And often when we think and read about, Jesus prayed in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I've heard crazy sermons, how that he agonized over, the prospects of being crucified. Not in the least. The one thing that, above everything else, that took place on the cross of Calvary, that was the greatest, burden to the Lord, facing, because he willingly gave himself in our stead. But for the period of time on the cross, he was going to be separated from the Father and from the Holy Spirit for the first time in all eternity. The fellowship would be broken while our sins were upon him. So that's the real agony of the cross. And that's why he prayed, if it be possible. That wasn't for his sake. That was for our sake. There's no other way So that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that's irrevocably true. No one gets to heaven or into the presence of God by human conduct. You have to be convinced that you're a sinner, and that shouldn't take much convincing. All you have to do is read just the Ten Commandments, and there are many more commandments than those in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And I can't read it without it condemning me. And I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but it still condemns me. Because, you know, I can't do what it says. And when we put our Lord's interpretation upon what the law says, then it's not just physical acts, but mental acts. You know, for example, Jesus taught the Jews in the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at a woman to lust after in your heart, you've committed adultery with her where? Already in your heart. Well, that gets rid of most normal males, unless they want to be one of those, you know. We had a word for it when I was a kid, and you're not supposed to use this anymore. Queer. It is odd that a man wants to make love to a man. And it's queer if a woman wants to make love to a woman. I think the solution is to solve the problem in three generations. Put all of the men on one island with no boats, no airplanes to get between it and another island, and you can't pass from one place to the other. What's going to happen in three generations? Yeah. A woman can't reproduce can she have sexual pleasure with another woman? There's no question that she can. Can a man have sexual pleasure with a man? Apparently they can. But they can't reproduce. No. I hate to be abrupt, but, you know, let me read a little bit to you from Romans. And then we'll get back to Romans, the first chapter. It says here, for the wrath of God in verse 18 is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, or that's ungodlikeness, and unrighteousness of men who do what? Who hold the truth. Who's the truth? Christ is the truth. They hold that Christ is unrighteous. Yeah. They belittle his life and ministry. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So when the world wants to talk about evolution and all of this thing, I don't have my Bible with me. But if you take 1 million years for evolution, you know, and and you work it all out, I think that the population of the earth at the present time, and this is about on the basis of 2.2 children per family or per couple, you know, married couple, 2.2 per generation for each of the people on the earth. And back in 1990, I think it was when I first read this, back then it could have been 2000, but anyway, at that point in time, that would have been a world population of 5 billion, okay? I think I'm saying it right. And the population at that point in time was 5.5 billion. So this is with, the Garden of Eden, the conditions that we have in the Bible. The world population should be mathematically, when this concludes famines, wars, all of that type of thing, it averaged out to 5 billion, and at that point in time, it was 5.5 billion for the population of the world. Now, go back to just 1 million years of evolution. Use the same formula. And by the time you get through, the population of the world at that point in time should have been, are you familiar with powers of 10? You know, okay, 10 times 10 would be, yeah, okay, second power. Okay, 10 to the 2049th power should be the population of the world. Now, it's a rare thing when somebody like Leakey, whatever his name was, when he finds a bone, he says, oh, this is ancient man. And it's a rare thing to find a bone from ancient man. We ought to be walking on bones at 2049th power. That's 10 times 10, 2049 times. Yeah. And that's a mathematical fact, you know, for just 1 million years for evolution, as opposed to the creation story. Okay, so let's continue here. Because when they knew God, and Adam and Eve knew God, they had fellowship with him, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Eve was deceived. Adam ate of the tree. And this speaks of the whole human family. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I'm speaking about the human family. And they did what? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, people worship, they know not what, but they love to have idols, you know. And so, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Okay, God says, if you think you can be like God by the life that you live, let me show you. I'm just going to turn you loose, and you do whatever seems right in your own mind. Okay? So he turned them loose to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie. Definite article in front of lie there. You know, the lie is that we can be like God. You know, the lie was to, the moment you disobey God and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. So the moment you quit thinking according to a right relationship with God based upon the word of God to thinking according to what seems right to man, yeah, then you're all wrapped up in the lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. We see that being manifested in a great many ways at the present time. Yeah. Oh, we got to save this. We got to save that. We've overprotected the harbor seals, and they want to blame the lack of salmon logging dams, whatever, or overfishing. No, harbor seals go out and grab those female salmon coming in, rip their belly out. The rest goes to the bottom of the ocean. I had a diver friend said during the salmon runs, the bay out of any one of our bays, the bottom's littered with the carcasses of salmon that the harbor seal. All they want is those rich eggs full of fat. Rip the belly out and take that. As you know, so it's not a matter of it's just like. You have a real good piece of fruit, and you take the bite that's the juiciest and the nicest or whatever. So that's what they do. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, we're talking about homosexuality here, okay? And it's interesting whenever the people want to quote Scripture, they never quote Romans 1. They always grab something in the Old Testament and you know. So God makes it pretty plain to us here why You know, this is what man does naturally with his natural mind. And with his natural mind, he's going to approve anything that man does, and that you're still going to make it to heaven because you're a good person. Yeah. And they argue for, you know, well, look how many talented, artistic, this, that, you know, all kinds of nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with the real problem. They argue for one thing over another. Yeah. So it says that's what the women did, and likewise also in verse 27, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting how that Hollywood particularly goes out of its way. If somebody dies of AIDS, they go out of their way to hide the fact that they were homosexual. You know? And a good many homosexual acts, you're dealing with filth. I mean, feces and doesn't go together. You know, and I don't want to be too too open about what I'm saying, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, if you just use your imagination a little bit, you know exactly what's done, and they try to approve it, you know. And even in the natural realm, we've had AIDS. I remember Paul Lynn when he died, you know, funny comedian, Hollywood Squares and all that type of thing. Boy, there wasn't a word hardly about his death. You know. Well, yeah, everybody knew that Paul Lynn was homosexual. You know. So, you know, he can be anything he wants to be. You can be anything you want to be. But don't tell me that you're going to get to heaven by being anything you want to be. You know, there's only one way into the presence of God. And adultery, fornication, murder. I mean, Paul's going to name all these things before we get through. But he's dealing with homosexuality here. And he says, and likewise also the men in verse 27, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. Well, they got what they deserved by doing it. Okay? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. That means a God-abandoned mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. Okay? Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now we're going to bring in all of the other sins that man commits. See, we're not just picking on one class of people. All of us are sinners. There's none of us in and of ourselves that can satisfy God's holiness, righteousness, and justice. That's why Christ had to come as God, live his life as a Jew, live his life under the law, and give himself as a ransom for sin. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So an simple act of faith, believing that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, gives you eternal life, and you shall never perish. You know, and it's offered to everyone. God, just, you know, all of your sins are under the blood, never to be remembered against you anymore. Okay. But the people that want to be judged by the lives that they've lived, we read about them over in the book of the Revelation, and the books are open. That's the book of works. And then finally, the book of life is open. Their name's not there. They didn't live up to God's standard, which is revealed in the law. And their name is not in the Lamb's book of life. So the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, hasn't cleansed them from all sin. Therefore, they're cast into the lake of fire. You know, that's what happens. You know, so God in his infinite love and mercy has provided salvation to whoever will believe. Forget about, you know, I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't spit, I can't chew, I can't do all the other things that naughty boys and girls do, you know. That's what religion is about. And religion doesn't satisfy God. is the only thing that can satisfy God. Christ is God, born of a virgin, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, had no cause of death in him, but gave his life as a ransom for your sins and for mine. And because of that, a simple act of faith. Believe it that he did it for you, and you have eternal life, and you shall never perish. And so he goes on, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so this is the other things that come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them over to a God-abandoned mind, reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting or convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You know, just your little children, when they won't mind, they're deserving of hell. You know, God in his infinite love and mercy has provided so no one need go there, but it falls into the same category as the other rebellions against the person and work of our Lord. So without, where was I now? Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You know, natural affection would speak of the natural love that a man has for a woman to take her as his bride, the natural affection that a mother would have for her children, and yet we see mothers murdering their children. That we had that Diane Downs thing here a number of years ago, you know, took her kids down the McKenzie, I don't remember how many she drowned, you know. But, you know, these things are in man's heart. Man's heart is only evil continually, you know. And so we cannot offer to God anything that we can generate that we call good. But God offers to us eternal life for a simple act of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he gives carries it further. You're saved, you raise your children and nurture and admonition of the Lord and your house. That means those of your household. So without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, this is the liberal spin today. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, and while back... my little granddaughter, she was 9 at the time, now she's 10. But she had a friend in school. And she was asked by her friend, do you support the LGBTQ or whatever it is? And she said, no. And she said, and the other little girl said, well, I'm offended. You know. And so Ava says, so? You can be offended if you want. But then, you know, and the little girl said, well, I'm bi. And she, 9 years old. Her body hasn't developed yet. How can she know whether she's bisexual or not? It's the nonsense that's being taught our children by liberals. You know, it's crazy, you know. And it's everywhere. And really, the antidote is right here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not going to stop the world from thinking the way the world thinks. But all of those things that we just read about there came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which the devil says, if you live your life according to what you think is right, and you can see there's no absolutes, there's 4,000 different moral systems in the world. You know, some degree of sameness, but there's always a little difference one place or another. And they say, it's by the life that you live. Well, think about your life. Think about my life. You know, I thank God that all of the things that I've done wrong haven't been found out. Otherwise, I'd be spending some time in the big house or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's. We're corrupt from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, and we can't offer our lives to God. Does that mean that everybody lives to the full extent of their depravity? No. But it means that in order to be accepted of God on the basis of what you do, the Scripture says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now let's turn back to the 7th chapter of Matthew. So when Jesus said in verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, I'm the door. He's the door of the sheepfold. He's the gate. We enter into His person and His work by faith. So His righteousness, He's God holy. Everything was done completely according to God's holiness, righteousness, and justice. And then He died as a ransom for our sins. Therefore, our sins were charged to Him, and His righteousness is charged to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saved us. So then He goes on, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. We've got thousands of them, all saying, we're the way. But when you analyze what they say, they all involve human behavior somewhere along the way. And only biblical Christianity says, you're a sinner, you're undone, you're not accepted on the basis of what you do, but Christ stood in your stead in life and stood in your stead in death. Believe on Him, and I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. And so, the way it works, you say, we've got to take care of sins after we're saved. No. You have to read the Scriptures for what they say. 1 John 1:9 says, in the Greek, if we should confess in the present tense, we may or may not do it, but if we do in the present tense, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So in the past, He died for our sins. He was cleansed us with His blood, and we were resurrected with Him. So when Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with Him. And according to the book of Ephesians, we are already judicially in heaven with Him. We're not there, we're still here. When we pass through the veil of death, our body goes into the grave. Soul is translated into heaven, where God has made a body for it to dwell in until the day of the resurrection. So we'll never be disembodied. That's why Paul, in 2 Corinthians, when he gave his personal testimony to what happened to him at Lystra when they stoned him to death, he was translated into the presence of God and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. You ever ask the question, why is there so little in Scripture about heaven? There's lots about hell. There's lots about sin. There's lots about man's failures, but very little about heaven. Because if we knew too much about it, we wouldn't stay here and do the job that God gave us to do, because faith comes by hearing. So we have to be preaching the Word of God. And so we preach the Word of God, and hearing by the Word of God, and by the foolishness of preaching. Why is preaching called foolishness? Not because of what we say, but the Scripture teaches that the natural man, the unsaved man, can't understand the things that we preach. Until the Spirit of God makes the connection. It's like trying to talk to somebody long distance, and in the old days, tell the operator, push that line in and connected you to the party that you were calling. You know, there's no connection. But the connection is made by the Spirit of God and the Word of God at the moment of salvation. And at that point in time, all we really know is, I'm a sinner and Christ died for me. Yeah. That's about it. That's why Paul told the Corinthians, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. So that's why the Scripture tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to finish this seventh chapter, so I got to move on. So, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. You know, we know false prophets said in verse 15, which come to you in sheep's clothing, they claim to be believers, but they're not. Inwardly, they're the predators that feed upon the sheep. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree, verse 17, bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, or the fruit of the evil one. Okay. The devil's lie. Now, people think the devil's in the prostitution business, the drunk business, drug business, whatever. No. The primary function of the devil is in the religion business. Yeah. And every religious system in the world was started by him, except one, and technically, biblical Christianity is not a religion. A religion is what man can do to accept it of God. Biblical Christianity is what God has done for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so that we're accepted in the Beloved. So a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. In other words, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I can't suddenly say, well, I'm 89 years old. I could die at any time. I hope by now that there's enough good works in my column to make me accepted of God. No, doesn't work that way. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of the things that I've done are under the blood. You know, the only thing that God's going to remember about me is the only thing he's going to remember about you. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. You know, so what we do as believers, he gives us the spiritual gifts, and then we operate in those gifts by his power, and he's going to reward us for it. You know, but anything that, you know, in the natural, you know, when I was in Bible college, they were crazy. You got to be a soul winner. Well, doesn't the Scripture say it's God that gives the increase? You know, we can plant, we can water, but it's God that gives the increase. What is a soul winner? I've talked to many people over the years about salvation, and preached to many people. I've had people saved under my preaching. But I can never remember a single time in, I was saved in 1954, and I've shown you how that I got into the Word of God very quickly. So I was actually studying for the ministry 18 months later. Yeah. And by that time, I'd read the Old and New Testaments probably two or three times. So some believers don't read through the Bible once in a lifetime. But I took in a lot. The Lord put me in a place where I could take in a lot. Canceled out the job I was going to have in the 11th Radar Bomb Scoring Squadron. So I could shoot pool, play pinochle, or read my Bible. Yeah. And I look back at it now. I never thought about it before. But everything about the last months after I was saved was setting me up for the ministry. Yeah. So that by the time I entered the ministry, I was arguing with doctors of the law, and they would give me this excuse and that excuse, but what they said didn't fit the truth of the Word of God. That wasn't God, because I was smarter than they were, maybe spiritually smarter, because many of my professors, I don't think, were saved. They didn't show any spiritual understanding. Yeah. And it just gets to be a job like anything else. Okay, so a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So the good tree is Jesus Christ. He's the way of life. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Ultimately, that's hell's fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's 4,000 religious systems out there, you know, many of them called Christianity, you know. I mean, you can get saved in the Roman church, but not because of what they teach. You can get saved in Pentecostal church, but not because of what they teach. You can get saved just about in anything that names the name of Christ. There may be enough of the gospel there so that the Spirit of God can quicken it to your heart and you can believe. But we have to grow in the things of the Lord, and that's why we want a ministry where, you know, the man of God is called of God, equipped of God, and given the tools to give to us what so many are afraid to say, you know. And so Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them in verse 23. Well, let me read verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, translated devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? That could be just hundreds of denominations under the canopy of Christianity. And he'll say, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work the iniquity. It's really hanamos in the Greek, and it's preceded by the definite article, it's the lawlessness. Yeah. And so much of what is preached under the canopy of Christianity is all about, oh, we baptized you as a baby, now you're saved. When you reach puberty, you have to, you know, be catechized and so on and so forth. And then if you commit sin, then you have to go to the priest and confess your sins, and he'll tell you certain things to do to get them as absolved. And so much of what is done under the canopy of Christianity follows that pattern of the Roman church. Yeah. But the moment you believe, you know, and for God, it was before the foundation of the world because he chose you in Christ. There's no failures. Yeah, I can preach, and it's not for me to make an increase. Too many preachers try to do that. And so they always have an invitation for this or an invitation for that so that people think something's going on when mostly what's going on is just of the flesh, fleshly. Yeah. But we preach the Word, and the Spirit of God is the one who quickens the Word of God. And so it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the Lord says of these that operate in his name but are really not in the truth, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of the iniquity, the singular lawlessness. What was the singular lawlessness? You can be like God by your knowledge of good and evil, by your morality. Okay? And that's the devil's lie. So the devil's in the religion business. Yeah. And, you know, all the other things that we do, we just do because of the sin nature that we got from the singular lawlessness, you know. So getting drunk, chasing skirts, chasing men, whatever you do, you know, that's what, like the song when I was a kid back in the 40s, I think, doing what comes naturally. Yeah, everybody does, and it's not what they think it is. Okay. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them or maketh them his own, poyao is the Greek word, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house not on a rock, on the rock. The rock is Christ. That rock that followed them is Christ. So we build our house on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scriptures, buried, rose again. He gives us spiritual gifts, and we'll be rewarded for those, and then we'll take the crowns that he gives us, cast them before his feet, because only he is worthy to reign. See? So what we're doing now, we're just trying to operate by faith so that we can cast anything that he enables us to do before his feet so that he receives the honor and glory. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Definite article. So in Christ, you're on solid ground. Yeah. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, or rejects or doesn't take them as his own, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And you see so many of those houses down around Malibu and that part of the California coast, you know, some really expensive property there. They get washed out every now and then. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished. You know, all of religion, all of Jewry was all caught up in what the Jews could do for God. And so when he went to the Jews, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And you see that all the time. Well, I'm not so sure about this or that. You know, vacillate around. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul told us it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved. He showed his mercy in Jesus Christ, who satisfied God's holiness, righteousness, and justice. And then he died a ransom for sin, and then he conquered death. And the scripture says, because he lives, we shall live also. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truths that are veiled in this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus dealing with Jews under law, telling them what the law required, but that they could not be justified by the law, but by the sacrificial system which pointed them to the one sacrifice for sin forever in Jesus Christ, because the just are to live by faith, and the law is not of faith. We praise you and thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.